Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Tuesday, wherever you may find yourselves across this great country or this great land. We have got a lot to discuss throughout the next 3 hours, and we appreciate you spending your time with us. New Zealand is giving up on the idea of COVID zero. Dr. Fauci pressed on natural immunity, finally. Mark Cuban and the failed policies of the Dallas Mavericks as a symptom of larger issues. All of that to be discussed shortly. Taxes. The IRS about to have way more power over your bank accounts. School groups are being investigated by the Department of Justice because they are considered to be a threat. It is madness. Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. Joe Biden said that her being followed into the bathroom was part of the process of being a politician. Jen Psaki is helping to clean that up. We've got the latest on the budget, all that and more. Much to discuss, but we begin with what I think is becoming a significant win, potentially, Buck Sexton, for Team Reality. Now, I understand how the spin will be pushed out there that New Zealand abandoning their lockdown policies is actually a victory, and they followed the science, and they did everything right. And yes, I understand they're a small island nation in the grand scheme of things, and they have a totally different ability to restrict people entering and exiting their country. But the fact that the prime minister down there, I believe Jacinda Ardern is her name, has had to now acknowledge that due to the Delta variant, the lockdowns basically don't work, and that New Zealand is going to have to open up, and that they can't stay locked down forever. I think this is a big win for Team Reality, and I hope that it's going to lead to more moving in our direction. Let's listen to that announcement that was made yesterday by New Zealand.
With this outbreak and with Delta, the return to zero is incredibly difficult. And our restrictions alone are not enough to achieve it quickly. In fact, for this outbreak, it's clear that long periods of heavy restrictions has not got us to zero cases. But that is okay. Elimination was important because we didn't have vaccines. Now we do. So we can begin to change the way we do things. We have more options, and there's good cause for us to feel optimistic about the future. But we cannot rush.
Okay, so Buck, I understand they're trying to claim victory. Hey, we did zero COVID until we had vaccines, and now we have these magic pill vaccines that even though they have tons of breakthrough cases and people still get COVID and you're not going to be able to stop it, and basically that means COVID is going to be endemic. I do think this is a big win for Team Reality in this respect. There are so many people out there, Buck, who've been holding up New Zealand, the Blue Check Brigade. Oh my God, see, if we had just locked down harder, we could have been like New Zealand. Suddenly having New Zealand and Australia in the last few days acknowledge that COVID zero is no longer a reality and that lockdowns are not possible, I think makes it harder and harder to bring back the idea of lockdowns in the United States. Fair or foul, is that a crazy position for me to adopt?
Well, first off, they're going to continually point to their low fatality rate from COVID as justifying, instead of saying, wow, this was madness. What were we doing? It was never going to work. It was always destined. And this was the thinking. Everyone forgets this now because we're told to forget it. The thinking about how to deal with pandemic disease was that a lockdown only made sense. Why was it 2 weeks to slow the spread? It wasn't to evade the virus. It was so that we could get hospitals up a place where they could handle the surge. That was it. And the reason was everyone knew if you truly lock down a society for a month, 2 months, okay, you'll have very low cases. It is true that if human beings do not congregate or see each other, there won't be much spread of the virus, if at all. But it's also true that the moment you go back to normal life, your plan essentially is a no plan plan, and they've known this all along. New Zealand, unfortunately, and Australia forget that they are islands with very sparse population.
And a healthy population on top of
that. Yes. I mean, one part of this that does not get talked about very much, because this is not about, you know, this is not about blaming anybody for their life decision or anything else. It's about health and medical reality. We have 10 times the obesity rate in America that, say, Japan does. 10x. Yes. So, and that's across all age demographics. So when you're looking at COVID outcomes, and obesity is, after age, really the chief driver, because with obesity comes hypertension and all these comorbidities, that also needed to be taken into account. But are we going to, what should we take from the COVID zero abandonment by New Zealand? I think it's that they have to recognize at this point that you're going to need shots and shots and shots, that there'll be variants. Remember, we've had a Delta variant that's like, oh my gosh, look what's happened. That was in 1 year.
Yeah.
Right? What's to make us think there won't be other variants that evade the vaccine? So they've looked at this and realized the one and done shot reality that they were holding out for is a fantasy. It's not going to happen. And so now they have to face the world of COVID, which does have COVID breakthroughs, but the vaccination rate in some of these, in Australia and New Zealand, is actually not that high. Interestingly enough, they've spent so much time tackling mothers in the park for not wearing a mask that I think in Australia, for example, it might be in the 40s.
I think you're right.
So, you know, they didn't actually focus on something that would have been a more effective short-term mitigation.
I'm glad you mentioned the variants, because one of the arguments that you will hear from Team Lockdown is everybody has to be vaccinated because otherwise we're going to have variants. And the variant, obviously, Delta, does not have as much protection from the COVID vaccine. But do you know what percentage of people in Africa have been vaccinated, Buck? You were just talking about what the rate is in Australia. Do you have any idea?
I mean, I'm assuming it's quite low. I don't know.
20%?
4%.
Four.
Wow.
4% of Africans have been vaccinated. The reason why I bring that up is, where did the Delta variant come from? India, where very few people had been vaccinated. The odds, if you just look at the global population, the odds of a variant emerging in theory in a highly vaccinated and highly naturally infected country like the United States are very, very low. The odds of the variant emerging in Africa are very, very high in theory, because only 4% of people have had the vaccine. Now, it's possible, because Africans in general are much healthier and also much younger than Americans would be, for instance. It's possible there's tons of COVID that has spread all through Africa and there's massive amounts of natural immunity. My point on this, though, is if you look at vaccination rates around the world, people who are focusing on the United States and arguing if we get vaccinated here, we'll guarantee that there are no variants, are actually missing the bigger picture. And that is why, Buck, so many medical professionals out there have opposed the idea of a booster in the United States and said the actual healthier thing from a global perspective is for all those shots to be shipped to countries where there's almost no vaccination that's taken place, so that the percentage of people with vaccines in those countries can get much higher. Because I think if you look at the data, the odds are that the vaccine, the variants are going to emerge in countries with low vaccine rates, which almost no one talks about.
The variants are going to emerge effectively no matter what, because
Correct.
These variants change so quickly. You know, think about it. We have a paradigm for this. We actually have something that we've been saying all along is very similar in a lot of respects to its societal impact and the way the virus mutates and changes, and that would be the seasonal flu. Now, we're also told that this Delta variant specifically is much more contagious than even COVID was, and COVID is more contagious than the flu. But year in and year out, there are hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps worldwide, certainly tens of thousands of people who die from the seasonal flu every year. There's a vaccine that's about 50% effective on average, I think, for the season, maybe 60, some people would say. And so if you're at high risk, you get it. But for the rest of society, it's very clear the better move is, maybe you want it if you want. Have you ever gotten the flu shot just because? I think I got it 1 year because someone convinced me, and then I was like, I didn't get it the next year.
Ironically enough, Buck, when I did local radio, they would come in to encourage people to get the flu shot and give us flu shots live on the radio.
Right. So, I mean, that's the way that this needs to go. My concern, though, right now is that people have embraced what you'd really have to call COVID culture now.
Yeah.
The mask wearing, the constant reminders. I mean, when I flew back from Alabama a couple days ago, when I flew back and left America's biggest party at Alabama versus Ole Miss, Roll Tide. I have to say hottie toddy too, or people get mad at me by
the
way.
There's no doubt.
I'm allowed to play both sides though, which makes me happy. No one gets mad at me for that. But when I came back, Clay, they do this thing every time you get on a plane, they hand you hand sanitizer. Now, this has become a COVID culture issue. This has nothing to do. You are not getting COVID because you didn't use hand sanitizer. That's just not reality.
We now rejected the idea, which was ascendant last year or whenever, right? That you could get it from surfaces.
They told us this all the time. Clay, Dr. Fauci said he was wiping down his groceries with Lysol.
And his mail.
Like a moron.
And
told all of us to do this. And he's the scientist. He's the doctor. But my point is that this now is a vestige. This is a thing, you know, we continue to do. I mean, it's almost like saying, you know, Gesundheit or something when someone sneezes. We give out hand sanitizer. We have all these social distancing plaques and signs everywhere. Even though no one's social distancing, it's really just become a mass anxiety disorder. And I think people now need these things around them in order to feel safe. I mean, the same way that people think that the TSA, as they're, you know, screening the bags half asleep as they're going through, that's really stopping, you know, the worst terrorists in the world from figuring out how to attack you on a plane. People now think as long as there are enough social distancing signs and handing out little packets of hand sanitizer so we can all, by the way, on the plane, breathe in the little, you know, lemony alcohol fumes. It smells almost as bad as those stupid trees that people hang from the
I think
from
the trees are actually not awful. I'm pro
trees. Clay Travis,
sometimes. This
is your worst take ever. No, those trees, the black ice smell makes me want to vomit. But anyway, isn't that what it's called? Black ice?
They have all these different flavors. It's a security blanket is what you're hitting at. As somebody who has parents, who has kids, who is parenting, you know, we went to WWE Raw last night, and my youngest kid still likes to carry around. He's in first grade. He likes to carry around his security blanket. So he's got it in the car. We're going to get back in the car late. It makes him more comfortable. And that's basically what we've done for people who are adults and should know better with high anxiety. We've given them all security blankets.
I think Fauci, by the way, I think your analogy
Fauci
is very apt. I think Fauci is the ultimate security blanket for a lot of people. As long as that little lab coat tyrant is on TV,
I think you're right about
people
that too.
Feel like, oh, the science is being watched over. And it's madness. But we will come back more into this one. Also, I want everyone to realize that a big plan for the Biden administration is to supercharge, as Clay says, on steroids, the IRS to come after all of you. I think this should get more attention, and we'll talk more about it probably in the second hour. But, you know, nearly a third of us suffer from chronic pain as a result of aging, exercise, overexertion, and the effects of everyday living. If you've wondered why there are entire aisles of pain relievers in the store, now you know. Those remedies might mask some of that pain, but how about eliminating it? The solution for so many people in this audience is Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Clay, hundreds of thousands of people, including a lot of folks listening to this show, have ordered Relief Factor. About 70% of them go on to order more.
No doubt. And if you're currently in pain and you had a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it, those are pretty good odds, right? What do you have to lose? Gary in California tried Relief Factor. He's 62 years old, started taking it, said he's never felt better, and he's recommending it to all his friends. Your dad, I know, takes it, Buck. My wife takes it. Makes a big difference for both of our families. And you can join the more than 500,000 people today and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed exclusively for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We're talking about where we are in the fight against this pandemic. We were taking a look around the other side of the globe at what's going on the land down under and our Kiwi friends in New Zealand. And sure enough, it turns out you can't just lock down a society and wait for a virus to disappear entirely. That's not really a strategy that you can do in perpetuity. We learned that, but what about the situation here of breakthrough cases? I mentioned yesterday, Clay and I were talking about this. You have, according to the State Health Department of Massachusetts' own numbers, a third of people in the hospital right now with COVID, a third of them, I'm sorry, a little less than a third, maybe let's call it 20-25%, fully vaccinated. That's not 1%, that's not 0.1%. I mean, that's a pretty sizable chunk, and that's not including all breakthrough cases. So that's starting to feel like we're not getting told everything. Maybe the numbers haven't been compiled properly. I'm not the only one who's wondering. Here is a CNBC anchor asking Fauci, I mean, are these breakthrough cases really rare?
Are you too casual about the limitations of the vaccine? No. Because it does feel to me that these breakthroughs are happening. They're happening regularly. And we haven't really seen the government pay that much attention to them or warn about them too much. It says on the CDC website, Dr. Fauci, that infections happen in only a small proportion of people who are fully vaccinated. And when these infections occur among the vaccinated, they tend to be mild. But the CDC doesn't even track the breakthrough infections. So how do we know that they're happening to a small proportion? And how do we know that they are tending to be mild?
Clay, that seems like a pretty big deal that the CDC is not tracking every single day breakthrough infections. It's not 1 in 5,000 per day, as Biden said in a speech a couple of weeks ago. Bull crap.
And what I will say I'm encouraged by here is Fauci is not getting the holier-than-thou treatment from all media members. I mean, that was a really good question, laying out all of the details and all of the analysis there. And I think it's emblematic of what we saw in the wake of Fauci on Sunday saying we might have to cancel Christmas. A lot of people are finally stepping up and pointing to Fauci and saying, you are effectively the emperor wearing no clothes. And he's getting called on it.
I think so. And we should come back in a moment, Clay, to his answer. Because yes. I think, you know, because we want to, because this was, you know why they're asking a real question? Because all the vaccinated journos are like, well, what do you mean the breakthrough infection? You know, they're worried, which
they
is why they're willing to ask the real question. That's the difference here. But just to give you some numbers, folks, it's super, super rare. What does that mean? Well, the latest in Massachusetts, which is going through a huge surge, even though it is a very heavily vaccinated state, their total caseload for breakthrough cases is in the, well, it was in last week alone, they had 4,378 breakthrough cases. That was last week.
It doesn't seem like a small number.
That doesn't seem super rare to me. Why don't we come back to this with Dr. Fauci in a moment?
No doubt. In the meantime, let's save you hundreds of dollars this year on something as simple as reducing your cell phone bill. That's what Pure Talk can do. And they can put you on the exact same network as AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, exact same 5G network, exact same towers. You can keep your same phone and your same phone number. And over a year's time using Pure Talk, you can save $800. How much would that mean for you and your family, especially? Because switching to Pure Talk is so easy. You get to keep your number, your phone, and Pure Talk will help you save on a brand new iPhone or Android. They will hook you up. I'm a customer. My own 13-year-old son is. It is phenomenal. Thousands of you are signing up. That's why they are Pure Talk, the top-rated wireless company by Consumer Affairs. They have fantastic customer service, all located here in the United States. Right now, 30-day risk-free. You have nothing to lose. Dial pound 250, say Pure Talk, 50% off your first month. Pound 250, say Pure Talk. Do it now, pound 250. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Want to play for you, as we were just talking in the last segment, you heard a CNBC point that I think is pretty significant about breakthrough infections and how common they are, even for people who are vaccinated. And Dr. Fauci was asked why it's not being tracked and how common they are. And here was his response.
The CDC has not, you're quite correct, tracked all real and potential asymptomatic infections. They are modifying that right now. And the studies that are being done that would give the kind of information that you're talking about. Also, it's very important to know that with the booster rollout that we've been talking about, we are anticipating that we will get an extra added boost in the sense of clinical effect. It looks like that extra added of protection from a boost will be very valuable.
Clay, can I say, he wasn't asked about asymptomatic cases. He was asked by the journalist, which we played before, which maybe we should go back to, about breakthrough cases.
Yes.
And he dodged.
And not only did he dodge, this is a big question that is really interesting to think about, because the way he dodged made me raise another question, Buck. And I'm curious if you've thought a lot about this. And I know we've kind of hinted at the hypothesis that's out there that many of these people that are getting vaccinated may well, if you look, one hypothesis is that one reason we have seen an increase overall in the number of COVID cases, even as many people are being vaccinated, is that a lot of these people who are getting vaccinated have a high level of COVID still, potentially high enough to test, even though they're not getting ill themselves as much, and they could be spreading it to the unvaccinated. In other words, there is a hypothesis out there that one reason why COVID cases have continued to go up is not because the unvaccinated are a threat to the vaccinated, but because the people who are vaccinated are basically becoming the vectors of transmission to the unvaccinated as a result of their COVID vaccines, which would flip everything on its head in terms of the way that people are lecturing the unvaccinated as if they're the danger. That's a hypothesis that seeks to explain, as you and I both know, Buck, why the numbers of COVID cases would have gone up as we rose to, I think right now, 77% of adults 18 and up have had at least one COVID vaccine shot.
This is a situation where you could also look at whether we're dealing with what would be called leaky vaccines, where,
yes.
And that seems to be at least at some level the case. So leaky vaccine is when someone can both can get infected and spread the virus. And in some cases, it can actually result, and this is where we talked about a disease of chickens, not of humans, Merrick's disease, but where you can actually create faster, more adaptive variants through mass vaccination campaign.
Which is the worst case scenario.
Of a leaky, with leaky vaccines, right? Because if you vaccinate, like polio, you're vaccinated, you don't get it, you don't
yes.
give it. With this disease, with COVID-19, you clearly can get and give.
Yes.
You're maybe doing it at lower levels, but you clearly can get and give. And we've had a vaccination campaign. Over 200 billion Americans have been vaccinated. So there's a lot of exposure of the virus to imperfect vaccination efforts. And by doing that, you're giving the virus an opportunity to see some. It's kind of like giving the enemy a look at your defenses before the big assault, right? Now, maybe you do it a million times, no big deal. You do it 10 million, 100 million times, you only need one time where the virus actually mutates in a way that you get a variant that's either much more transmissible or, God forbid, much more lethal, and you got a very big problem on your hands.
And one reason, Buck, we could be dealing with now the cases declining is, one, I think it's Delta variant, but also the mass rush to get vaccinated. There could be just less, we know the waning efficacy of the vaccines might be actually making there be fewer cases because there's not many people walking around with COVID able to pass. Now, this also ties in. People say, okay, what's the significance here? Well, in your life, what rules are being applied? Buck, you know, in New York City, to go to a restaurant, to go to a sporting event, you have to have the COVID vaccine, negative test, all these different COVID vaccine passports. Same thing now in much of California. But red states have typically not required those same protections or those same passports, COVID vaccine passports. Mark Cuban down in Dallas, where you got Jerry Jones, 100,000 people or whatever it is, showing up for Cowboys games. Mark Cuban is now requiring, in order to go to a Dallas Mavericks game in deep red state Texas, either a COVID vaccine or a negative test. And I believe we have a cut of Cuban, and I've been arguing with him publicly. Some of you may have seen this. Here's Cuban talking about his new policy, cut six.
No, so two things. One, you know, If you have a proof of vaccination, that's good enough. You upload it to our app, and that's all you need to do for one time a year. If not, let's say you have COVID, we still want to have proof that that natural immunity is working, and you don't have COVID. You just have to show a negative test from within the previous 3 days. So if you're vaccinated, it's easy.
So he's like almost there with the. He knows there's this thing of natural immunity. He knows you're actually safer as somebody who has natural immunity than somebody who has only gotten the virus. I'm sorry, only gotten the vaccine and not had the virus. But he insists on it being a test only system every time instead, because by that logic, why not have a vaccinated person test every time?
That's right. That's what I asked him. And Brett Kavanaugh, for instance, for people out there, found out after double vaccination, there are lots of people out there who've been double vaccinated and tested positive. So what Cuban is trying to sell to his fan base is you're safe and also you're virtuous. But the reality is, Buck, this is a broken system. So what I've been arguing with him about, and I do think this would be an improvement. First of all, we are clear. We don't believe in COVID vaccine mandates. I certainly don't think you should have to show a passport to go to a restaurant or a bar or a sporting event. I'm not in favor of this. But if you are going to put that policy in place, I think you should be logically consistent, and that policy should include, if you can prove that you have COVID antibodies, that should count just as much as a vaccine, and you shouldn't have to get a negative test after you've already had COVID in order to get right in, if you're not having to get one for the vaccine too.
Natural immunity has been a casualty of the noble lie that the only responsible way forward is for everyone to get the vaccine. I say noble lie insofar as that's what the left thinks it is. We just view it as not actually rooted in the science. They're just lying. But they made, it's very clear that the health authorities, the Fauciites, made a decision that they're going to ignore this enormously important part of the entire equation here and make everybody get a shot, because the one size fits all of get the shot or else was the thing they were most comfortable with, both from a dealing with their unreasonable COVID anxiety perspective, but also their desire to set, I think, a precedent and a standard where the government now under health authority has more control than it ever has before over people's day-to-day lives, which we've seen. And I think that that's why you're starting to see some folks come around to say, well, hold on a second. Why is it that now we're just beginning to hear about natural immunity? We're just beginning to hear from Fauci that they're counting breakthrough infections. Isn't that absolutely essential data? How can you be pushing a vaccine on everybody saying you must get this, it's irresponsible not to, and not know how many people who get the vaccine, Clay, still get sick and in some cases still go to the hospital and even in some cases die? Yes. That is the reality of this, but they don't have those numbers. Kind of like how they never really wanted to know how much natural immunity was out there through serology testing, through the blood test. They could have been tracking it every single month. Clay, they track the numbers they want to use for the policies they insist on, and they ignore the ones that they don't like.
And here's what I would say. We have a ton of people in media who listen to this show. As Rush used to say, a lot of people listen to this show as prep for their job.
Happy to help. We're happy to help. We're helpful guys.
Happy to help. What I would say is we need Fauci, because he won't come on our show. We need Fauci pressed on these questions. These are significant and important questions.
Can some other journos plagiarize some of our questions?
Yes.
Like take our, someone ask Fauci how we can take him seriously when he says things like, we haven't really looked at breakthrough infections as a number. What more important? You're counting every vaccination. You're counting every second vaccination. You're telling us to get boosters. You're counting every case, including people who are fine.
Yes.
But you're not going to know how many times the vaccine is failing to prevent infection?
Gee, seems like a big deal.
I think that's a pretty big deal, Clay. I do. I think there's something funky going on here.
You know what? And again, we encourage everybody just ask those questions. We'll play your questions on our show for our audience as a thank you, as we just did for that CNBC question. In the meantime, if we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over the past 20 years, Dr. Dennis Black of Texas has been working on Texas Superfood. It is the original superfood, and it has 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotics and digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defense from the inside out. We've learned from Dr. Black, your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with. And Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, an awful lot of you out there, including us, sometimes we don't do that. Buck, what can people do to take advantage of this Texas superfood, the safety net for the American diet?
It's so easy. I mean, you can start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. So don't wait. Get on this. Because if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. All you have to do right now is online, go to texassuperfood.com/buck. That's texassuperfood.com/buck. Or call this phone number, 855-TEXAS-55. Again, texassuperfood.com/buck if you want to go online. Or just call this number right now, 855-TEXAS-55. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck in NYC, Clay out in Tennessee, and we got Kyrsten Sinema, the senator who was followed into a bathroom over the weekend by a amnesty activist, right? You always know what someone thinks about immigration, just so you know, in the press, based on the words they use. I mean, the second you hear undocumented, then you've got somebody who's essentially in favor of de facto open borders, certainly of amnesty. Anyone who uses undocumented, people who use the term activist with reverence. Oh, well, that person's an activist. So that's always a big tell. That's a big sign. But here we have Kyrsten Sinema, who the left has decided is in the way of their more grandiose socialist agenda. And although she's a person of the left, she's clearly a Democrat. This is not like she's a stealth conservative at all. Which is so interesting in all this. She was followed by an illegal alien, confronted her on a commercial flight.
I just want to know if you can commit to passing a reconciliation that could provide a pathway to citizenship for immigrants. We have been waiting for this for too long. I just need to know if you can commit to passing a budget reconciliation that would include immigration and citizenship for people to be protected, like me and many others. I don't want to disturb you, but at the same time, I just want to see if I can get a commitment from you, Senator. This is my life and the life of millions in the line. I just need to hear from you. Right, Senator? Either you don't want to respond.
Okay, it's not in her power to give them what they're asking for, even if she agreed, it wouldn't make a difference, Clay. But it's really, it seems like this is about the theatricality and people on the left. And this is like a form. It's the same way that the left loves to protest. They love to get out and protest. And
yes,
they'll bring their kids who are five to the anti-gun violence rally as if their five-year-old knows what the NRA is. You know, the left likes to do this. They also, I think they get some joy out of harassing people based on their politics. I really do.
I think we have to fundamentally repudiate this idea, regardless of what your politics are. And this was what I was saying yesterday about Biden failing. The idea that you go up to a stranger with your hand, with a camera in your hand, basically your phone, state your opinion and hold it right in their face for them, expecting them to respond. Buck, this is, I mean, go back in time. Do you remember the television show Hard Copy?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Do you remember the way that so many people out there in America had a great deal of disdain and disgust when they saw, for instance, a house just burns down and some journalist would run right up in the face of the person who just had something horrible happen to them with a camera and try to record them, right? It felt like that invaded the personal space. Now we've created a society where everybody is basically a hard copy reporter running right up on everybody in the face and confronting them. We got to reject and repudiate, I think, this. The exact opposite of what, by the way, Congressman Maxine Waters said, which has emboldened and encouraged this kind of behavior. Because where it leads, Buck, is ultimately, I really believe this, to some form of violence, particularly when you're talking about women being confronted. I don't like this idea of walking up in the bathroom on a woman, if I think about it from my mom, my wife, if I had a daughter's perspective, I don't like the idea of invading anyone's personal space. But I think when we're doing it to female politicians, it strikes me even more aggressively and uncomfortable, because what we're going to have, Buck, is men eventually getting in the personal space of women and confronting them in a physically violent type situation where it makes people uncomfortable. Well,
Remember this. It's meant to be intimidating.
Yeah.
There's no part of them on the left when they do these things. This is not new. This is pretty standard. They like to, whether it's chasing little terrified Jeff Flake in the elevator during the Kavanaugh debacle with the left, where they were trying to clearly destroy a manifestly innocent man by lying because it was so important to them to protect abortion. That's what Kavanaugh, the whole thing was really about. Or they do this to members of the Trump administration where they chase them, they yell at them.
Yes.
There's no repudiation of this.
It should
be. When people on the right do annoying things, I say, I don't like that, right? I think there was one time, I even forget what the issue was, where a group of people who were conservative did the whole, we're blocking a bridge and creating a traffic snarl thing. It was a few years ago. It was here in New York. I don't even remember what it was about. I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
I hate that. There are people who are trying to get to their jobs. There are people who are trying to get to work. It is wildly inappropriate. It's illegal and it's wrong. And, you know, I'm sorry you don't like the tax bill or you don't like the healthcare policy or whatever, but blocking traffic is not something that people in a society that believes in order and the rule of law do. The left, they embrace this stuff. This is the point is they don't see a problem. That's why Biden did his whole, well, I don't really like it, but, you know, it happens.
It's part of the process.
Right,
well, you know,
he's supposed to be the fake moderate that sits in front of all this stuff.
You know when they would hate a buck? If it were a conservative doing it to a liberal politician.
Can you imagine? Imagine if a bunch of conservative, you know, MAGA hat wearers chased AOC onto an airplane.
Into the bathroom.
I think it was women that chased her in the living
room? Yeah, but even still, it could still be wearing MAGA hats.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
They would lose their minds.
They would absolutely lose their minds. They'd say that, you know, remember, Clay, the left will say anything. Speech is violence. Silence is violence. And then when they do actual violence, they say, oh, well, that wasn't violence. You know, we were just speaking our minds. You know, they're crazy. But we'll come back to the IRS. It's going to be scary if the left gets their way. I'll tell you why.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.